Today we're looking at Isaiah chapter 6, and I call this Isaiah chapter 6 part 2. You'll remember on a previous occasion we looked at Isaiah chapter 6 part 1. I divided chapter into two parts, and I call that part 1 the vision, because Isaiah received a vision or had an experience of seeing the Lord high and lifted up and his throne on his throne, and he saw the glory of the Lord. We saw that really it was the Lord Jesus from John's Gospel. Now, this part two I call the prophecy because during that experience that Isaiah had of seeing the Lord high and lifted up, he received a prophecy. Now, this prophecy has been partially fulfilled and is yet to be fulfilled. It's also a judgment. We read about it in verse 9 and 10. You know, the angel came and purged Isaiah's lips so that he could receive this prophecy and deliver it to the people. Now, let's just read it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And he said, go, that is the Lord to Isaiah, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed and understand not, see ye indeed but perceive not, and make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. I'll look at the rest of the chapter shortly, but here Isaiah receives this very important prophecy. Now this prophecy, as I say, is a judicial blindness. It's a judgment of judicial blindness upon the people of Israel because of their unbelief. Technically, it's quoted six times in the New Testament, but three of the times are in the Synoptic Gospels during the same circumstances or the same time period, so we could call that one time. And then we get it quoted in John's Gospel, and then we get it quoted in Acts chapter 28, and then Romans chapter 11. So John chapter 12, Acts chapter 28, Romans chapter 11, and we'll look at Matthew 13. If you turn to Matthew 13, verses 13 to 15, we see that the Lord, it was on the occasion of the Lord Jesus speaking of the mysteries, the parable of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And we get shorter versions of this in Mark and Luke. And basically he tells the disciples, you know, I spoke to the people in parables because seeing they cannot see and hearing they cannot hear. And he quotes word for word Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 6. He says, therefore I speak unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. And the Lord Jesus goes on to quote the whole prophecy taken from verse 9 and 10 of Isaiah chapter 6. And so essentially, to the disciples, a very small remnant, was made known the mysteries. He took them in the house and he explained it to the disciples. Although these disciples probably didn't really understand themselves what the meaning of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven was until after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But nevertheless, the Lord explains it to the disciples. To those outside, the majority, he didn't explain it to them because they were under this judgment of judicial blindness. It's a solemn thing, an amazing thing. But that was not the end of it. We come to John's Gospel chapter 12, where it's quoted again. And it says in verse 39, therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. And so the prophecy is quoted again. And here it's on the occasion again of their unbelief. And it's an explanation for their unbelief. And then verse 41 of John 12, these things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. That is, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, as we saw in part one, he was really seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus. But this is an explanation for the unbelief of the people of Israel, that they have been judicially blinded, that their hearts have been hardened, and they could not believe. But God has always spared a little remnant, and he declares to them the meaning and the interpretation and to all of the parables, but also to see the Lord Jesus, to believe in him, to receive him as their Lord. It's the election of grace that the Bible speaks of. And then Acts chapter 28, we see Paul under house arrest in Rome, and the Jewish leaders are coming to him, asking him questions, and he's declaring to them things concerning the kingdom of God. And he spoke to them out of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. But it says in verse 24 of Acts 28, therefore some believed, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spoke, but the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. And he goes on again to quote the whole prophecy from Isaiah chapter 6. And so here it is. Paul preaches the gospel, and the Jewish leaders reject that. And then we see the conclusion is in verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God has been sent unto the Gentiles, for they will hear it. The people of Israel would not hear it, but the Gentiles would hear it. So we see this continuing judgment upon the people of Israel for their unbelief. They according to Isaiah's prophecy, it's a twofold thing. They did not believe, they rejected the Lord, and therefore judicial hardness of heart had fallen upon them, which continues, by the way, unto this day. And that brings us to Romans chapter 11. And therefore, some have concluded wrongly that God has rejected Israel forever because they have not believed in the gospel. But that's not so, and Paul pushes back against that. In verse 1, has God cast away his people? God forbid. And then he, you know, quotes the prophecy from Isaiah, from Isaiah chapter 6. He quotes it in verse 8. According as it is written, God has given the spirit of slumber and eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So the prophecy was given 700 years before the Lord Jesus came, and then, you know, some 40 years later in Paul's ministry, he quotes it. But it's still ongoing. The people of Israel are still, you know, not receiving the gospel largely, except for a very few people, relatively speaking. The nation as a whole, I'm speaking of the country, are largely secular humanists. But even in the Western societies where the Jewish people live, largely are not religious at all. And the ones that are reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They don't believe that he's the Messiah. But Paul says this is not a permanent condition. And so we get further on in Romans chapter 11. He says in verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits. It's a warning to the Gentile Christians not to be puffed up and wise, in their own conceits, to be proud, you know, and say that God is finished with Israel. Theologies like the replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel. It has not, in that sense. And Paul goes on to say that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So it's continuing on, but it's only until the fullness of the Gentiles has been come in. I mean, all the Gentiles, the great ingathering of the Gentiles, the last member of the church is brought in. Then God will turn his attention again to Israel on the earth. Of course, we know that they must pass through a great tribulation. So we come back to Isaiah chapter 6, because Isaiah has a question. It's a natural question in verse 11. He says, then I said, Lord, how long? In other words, how long will this judicial blindness be? Is a day, a week, a year, 5 years? And the Lord answers him. He says, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And that's referring to the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. But then we get something interesting. He says, yet there will be a tenth portion in it. In other words, there will be a sparing of them. A tenth of the people will be brought back. And we see that in 538 BC, after the 70-year captivity, we get some come back from Babylon under Zerubbabel through the decree of Cyrus. And they were there in the land, rebuilt the temple, and there they continued until the coming of the Lord Jesus. But notice the prophecy or the answer the Lord gives to Isaiah in verse 13. He says about this tenth portion, this little remnant that comes back from Babylon, and it will again be subject to burning. In other words, there'll be another desolation after the Babylonian desolation. The ESV translates it this way. It will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. But it will be burned again. And this is fulfilled in 70 AD when the Romans dispersed the people of Israel throughout Europe and other places, which has continued until 1948. And now they're back. Notice the very end of verse 13, it says, the holy seed is in its stump. Yet there is still a holy seed of the people of Israel. And that is speaking of the future remnant that will be brought back, will be brought to repentance. And then this judicial blindness on the nation of Israel will be lifted and fulfilled. So it's yet future. So the prophecy has not yet been completely fulfilled that was given to Isaiah. It's amazing. And here's a practical application for ourselves, is that God takes the long view. The Lord takes the long view of things. This was 2,700 years since this prophecy was given, and it's still ongoing. So God is not in a hurry. 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. And so let's think about that. You know, we're so impatient. We're standing in line at a coffee shop, and we're waiting. Why is the cashier so slow? I want to get my coffee. I need my caffeine fix, you know. But, you know, God is patient. He takes the long view. And, you know, we wonder sometimes, you know, when will our prayers be answered? When will this problem in our local assembly be solved? When will the Lord come? When? How long will this be? Well, let's just be a little patient, okay? The Lord takes the long view. And this is the practical lesson for us, apart from the prophecy given to the people of Israel. There's always a practical lesson for us in these scriptures. All these things were written for our learning, for our instruction, for correction and righteousness, that we may learn, that we may profit, that we may grow. So if you're feeling impatient with what's going on, remember, the Lord takes the long view. Amen.